Chris, I would go ahead and hand it over to you. And perhaps before I do, I'll tee it up by saying Kat has a hard out at 7 p.m. And so that's still correct. Is that right, Kat?
Yeah.
So we're going to shift the order around a little bit. Counselor Jensen isn't here. He gave me a written statement that I've sent to all of you electronically, and I'll speak to it after we go through the three applications that we have. So with that said, Chris, I would go ahead and turn it over to you and just want you to be aware that Carrie Kincarin is here as an attendee, and she is representing the first application on the agenda.
Gotcha. All right, good evening, everybody. I'll call the Ashland Tree Commission meeting to order at 6:03. So we can jump right into the reviews here. And before I do that, so it'll read our procedure here. This is the time and place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. Number one, the public hearing will be open, and those interested in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak during the public hearing portion. All who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. Then at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. Thirdly, after the staff report, the applicant and applicants represent 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask a question of the applicant or applicant's representative without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the applicant's presentation. Next, other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding the application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. Next, staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or any matter which has been raised. And finally, the applicant will then have 5 minutes of rebuttal time. So I call to order planning action. Is it a planning action? It must be.
Correct. It's a standard tree. I see that it's missing there on the agenda. My apologies. It's a tree 2021-00137.
All right. This is at 403 Dead Indian Memorial. The applicant is the City of Ashland, the Public Works Division. This is a request for approval to remove 7 trees that are in poor health along the entry to the Ashland Airport to help facilitate a landscape improvement project. The application includes a tree removal and protection plan, as well as a complete replanting plan prepared by a licensed landscape architect. Application materials indicate that 7 trees proposed for removal suffer from various afflictions, including trunk damage, insect damage, and sunburn. All right. Anybody have a chance to visit this one?
No, I did not.
Anybody needed to abstain? Okay, staff report, please, Aaron.
So this is a project that's been on the airport's radar for quite some time and apparently was held up due to budget constraints. There simply wasn't enough money for it. And those situations have changed. I believe there was a lease that happened that gave them an infusion of funds. And so now they're moving forward with this project. And Carrie Kincarin is the landscape architect who's working on it. And I would pass it off to her to speak to the application.
Okay. Good evening, Carrie.
Hi. I don't really have... I was just here to answer questions. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. A lot of those trees have been, seems a little brutalized out there. I don't think, yeah. So we saved what was good and took out what wasn't and added a bunch of new ones and added some hopefully more consistent, dependable irrigation.
Sorry, Carrie, I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that.
That's okay. I just thought I'd show up. You know.
So I didn't get a chance to go out there either, but I'm pretty familiar with the area. Are these ones that have been repeatedly topped? I mean, they have to for FAA regulations, right?
Yeah, why the Zelkovas we've got in there are wireless, so they're low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a bunch of, I don't know if they're the Crowder, Vesuvius, there's a bunch of thundercloud plums there originally. And and some other trees, and I can't remember right now what they were, but it's just, it's kind of nasty.
Yeah, it doesn't look very good right now.
No.
Anybody else have a chance to go out there? Or maybe Pete, I know you've been around this a lot.
I think the ones that were, these are not the ones actually that are being topped. Those are the native ones along the stream on adjacent properties. Those are just ornamentals along the road. But they're in terrible shape. I've seen them fall apart over the years, cleaned up a lot of broken branches and major parts of trees that have fallen out of those.
So Pete, do you think it's because of just the age of the trees and they were not great trees to begin with? I mean, they're purple plums, but what do you think's going on with them?
Yeah, that's, you alluded to maybe inadequate irrigation. That seems like it might be a possibility there. And there's obviously some fungus and rot in a lot of them. Maybe age as well. I don't think those are the longest live trees. So they're ready to come out, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And any other questions for Carrie or?
The pine tree, you know, it's all just kind of a monocrop of kind of ornamental plum, but the one pine tree, is there any like regrading happening like with the proposed new landscape and stuff, or is it just plucking them out and then improving the irrigation?
No, it's plucking the trees out and then reconditioning the soil and replanting. Yeah, but no grading per se, no.
Okay, thanks.
And the good news is that the contractor that has been awarded the project is one of the more responsible ones. So that's good. It should be really well done.
Yeah, big improvement.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? That'd be good. All right. I'll close the public hearing portion. I don't have much input on this one. If anybody else does, I'm ready to make a motion, unless anybody feels strongly differently.
I think the, you know, a lot of the plums, you know, that I saw do have like major decay. I mean, I think some of it could be pruned out, but at the same time, I mean, it's, you know, the whole monocrop. I mean, there's definitely some that are like, wow, that's it. I'm surprised it didn't fall over, you know, and then some were just, you know, bad pruning cuts that basically decayed in. So they could be worked with, but I don't think there's any need to, because it's nice to, you know, have the option of diversifying that, you know. So I think a new landscape is an improvement overall. The one tree that I thought was nice, even though it's leaking a lot of sap, is the pine tree kind of to the southwest. But I kind of like that pine tree. There was a dead branch that got pruned off and then some sap. So if it was me, I'd like to see that stay, but at the same time, if it's got to go to have the other improvements, that's fine too.
I think that, has it been topped? I'm sorry, I don't.
I don't know the rules, Carrie.
Good form to you. I mean, if you want to have it stay, it's fine. I mean, we're not attached to taking anything out that anybody thinks is worthy of staying put. I'm not sure that they really don't want anything to get like over 25 feet, 30 feet. So
what kind of pine is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ponderosa? Or?
Definitely not a ponderosa. I don't even think knobco, and it seemed kind of like an ornamental kind.
Like one of the European Austrian or something like that.
And I'm not quite sure if it had been topped. So Yeah, I don't know. You say mostly it's Zelkova's going back in?
Zelkova and one or two red buds.
What was the variety on Zelkova you mentioned? It can be a little lower growth.
Wireless.
Wireless. Huh.
You know those trees?
I don't.
They have the growth habit of a those trees that grow in Hawaii that are really horizontal or in Africa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The problem with them is if they're in a really deep, wet snow, they can split down the middle. But I haven't seen a snow like that in, you know, I had one that happened 15 years ago. So. Yeah.
Well, that'd be neat. Kat or Eric, any input, strong feelings?
No, I did not get a chance to see these. So I don't really have any input or questions. It seems like a reasonable request to me based on what we've seen presented tonight.
Yeah. I think I'll make a motion that we approve as submitted. Anybody want to second that?
I'll second it, but if I could add something as a suggestion, which is different than a recommendation, that when if you go to the site again and you're kind of thinking about the bigger picture and stuff, if you decide that the pine would be nice to keep, I'd you know suggest to keep it. But
I'll go check it out. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Sure.
Okay, all those in favor of the motion with a friendly suggestion? Passes. Thanks, Carrie.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, Aaron, how do you want to do the rest of the meeting? I think I'm all over the agenda here.
Yeah, you are definitely our next two applications. Traditionally, Kat or Asa have taken... We don't formally have a vice chair presently. Do either of you have a preference to handling the next two applications since Chris is going to recuse himself?
I'll do it, or I'm fine with Kat doing it either way.
Chris? Asa?
What'd you say, Kat?
I said go for it, Asa.
All right, Asa. You're hereby deputized.
So, Chris, I'm going to go ahead and put you into an attendee status, but I presume you're going to stay on the call because we're going to have some discussion items afterwards, correct?
You bet.
Okay, yeah. Great. Give me 1 minute to get you moved over. All right, so he's in the lobby now. Asa, you don't have probably the script before you, is that correct?
I don't, but it. I think I can kind of remember it.
Okay. Yeah. Call to order, read the blurb, site visits, abstentions, conflicts, ex parte, and then staff report.
Yep. And then did I hear right in one of the emails we're trying to end by 7 p.m. sharp?
We're trying to get through the three tree applications at the very least by 7, because then the rest of that, those are the things that we need the quorum for.
Okay. Play in action tree 2021-138. The subject property 804 and 844 Roca Street. Owner and applicant Roca Canyon Homeowners Association and Canopy Tree Service. Description: a request for approval to remove two white alder trees from a common open space area managed by the Rogue Canyon HOA. The two trees are to the rear of the properties addressed as 828 and 804 Roca Street along Roca Creek. The applicant is prepared by an ISA certified arborist and states that both trees are in a state of decline with 25 to 35% of the upper canopy either dead or dying. The application states that there is no obvious reason for the decline, but that this species is susceptible to a number of pathogens that could be the cause. The application includes that as the trees continue to decline, they pose a risk as they shed branches and pose a hazard to those that would need to climb the trees when they do fully die in order to safely remove them. I tried to check out the trees. Yeah, does anyone need to stand besides Chris? And then, yeah, anyone else check them out?
No, I totally did not go to any sites this week.
Yeah, I tried to see him, and then I couldn't see him.
So. Yeah, so when I posted the notice, I saw what I thought were the trees in question. Do they have a white bark like a birch wood? Is that correct?
No, it'd be real rough, like an alder.
Well, like, then maybe I didn't see them.
Yeah, I think the white kind of thing, that was something different.
Okay.
But anyway, staff report?
Yeah, so you know, when I write these blurbs, I really take the application materials and try to make it as concise as I can. More or less, that blurb is the highlights of Chris John's letter. So I don't have much more to offer. Obviously, you know, with the current season, it's hard to evaluate the amount of the upper canopy. But obviously, you know, we know Chris, he has a good reputation. If he's observed them previously, you know, I think we feel pretty comfortable with that. And so other than the materials that are in the application and the letter, I don't have anything to add.
Is anyone here to speak about the tree, part of the HOA?
There is no one here representing this application. No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess the way I feel about it is, you know, I wasn't able to fully see the trees, but being that there is, you know, an arborist report, as another arborist, as a tree starts to fall apart, it gets more and more scary. So I think it makes a lot of sense, you know, if it's 35% dead, that's like a third of the tree. And alders do start to fall apart. You know, they can kind of sprout back, but then there's going to be more decay and it's going to get scarier in the long run. So I'd kind of like to just approve it. How do you guys feel?
Yeah, that was my general feeling also.
You're nodding, Eric. You ready for a motion?
I think they need to go.
Okay. Make a motion to approve the application as submitted.
Second.
All in favor or not in favor? Okay. Unanimous. Okay, moving on to there's no type 2 reviews. Street tree removal. Planning action, tree 2021-139. Subject property, 256 6th Street. Owner applicant, Kevin Priester, and Canopy Tree Service. Description, a request for approval to remove a Douglas fir tree that is estimated to measure 9 inches DBH and 25 feet tall. While the tree is not a hazard, it does show evidence of bark beetle activity in the main trunk. The application material is prepared by an ISA certified arborist who states that the tree is in poor health and its long-term viability is questionable. While the tree does not qualify as a hazard, the arborist states that it does not meet the arboricultural adage of right tree in the right place.
So to this, you know, I would basically say more or less what I said to the previous application. Again, it's an application from Canopy. I summarized his letter. In my experience, you know, we don't generally see conifers and planting strips. And I don't know if anyone made a site visit, but this section of Park Row is very heavily planted. And there are overhead wires. And while it's not in conflict yet, it's one of those things where it's going to be a time. And to me, reviewing the application materials, it seemed like a reasonable request.
I went and did a site visit. Did anyone else, Kat, or you didn't, but Eric, did you get a chance to check them out?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's the property just below that amazing grove of Deodar cedars on 6th Street. So there are some conifers around. What I saw was definitely, yeah, there's a lot of plants in the park strip there. You know, on one side, if you look at the pictures, you know, looking at the house, the tree to the right of the fir slated to be removed is, you know, large leaf maple, which has a lot of decay at the base. So I could see eventually that, you know, needing to come out potentially. And then the other tree to the left isn't on their property. So they really don't have, you know, there's really no guarantee that it'll be crowded forever. The other fir tree on the other side of the large leaf maple has been topped because of the service lines above it. So I think the likelihood that this fir would eventually get topped is pretty high. So, you know, if the maple and the other tree came out, then it's like, whoa, we should have left it. But if it's just going to get topped, it sort of seems like we should just get the ball rolling to something better suited. I didn't see any evidence of bark beetles, but who knows when the arborist had checked this tree out. And even if there was bark beetles, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to kill the tree, you know, with enough water. But it had been stripped of a lot of limbs, like really high. Like, there wasn't much crown left of the tree. So, and maybe that's just because of the shade, the branches, you know, get shaded out and die out. So then they get pruned off. Who knows? But I think, yeah, I'm ready to make a motion.
Please.
Agree.
Make a motion to approve the application as submitted.
Second.
Oh, are street trees, so they're naturally going to have to replant anyway, right?
I believe that they specifically in their application materials asked to not have to plant a mitigation tree. And street trees are a little bit different than if they're on private property. And so if you guys think that's appropriate based on the amount that the surrounding plantings are, I think it's perfectly appropriate for you to not require a mitigation tree.
Yeah, so I did make the motion, but yeah, let's pause that before we get a second or vote on it. I'm fine with them not, you know, requiring not replanting there. You know, if the maple dies, then sort of like if a tree dies on its own, there's no really requirement that they have to replant, right? Like it just is if they remove it.
Actually, no. With street trees, it's a funny thing. If someone has a dead tree on private property, that's exempt from a permit and they can cut it down. But a dead tree in a park row is not necessarily exempt. And this came up recently when someone called and said, there's a dead tree in the park row. Do I need a permit? And I had a conversation with Derek about it. And the rationale is that because it is the city's property, even if it's a dead tree, we want that to go through a permitting process and partly to ensure that a mitigation tree be planted if need be.
Okay. So if the maple ends up dying, they're going to have to replant that anyway. So I think
that's correct.
Plenty of trees for that area. And same with the fir probably too. So I think I'm fine with not requiring them to replant. What were you going to say, Eric?
I agree. I don't think they should have to mitigate a tree. That, I mean, it was stated that it's overplanted as it is. So there's plenty of stuff in there. And they would have to, like you said, they'd have to put one in anyway if something happened to the maple. So I'm okay with it the way it is.
Yeah. Okay. Me too. I make the motion to approve the application as submitted.
Okay. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
And that's of the material I have. That's the last.
That is correct. We need to do now. And by the way, nice job. That was pretty quick for three applications. what we need to do now is go back to the top of the agenda and deal with approval of minutes, liaison reports, and then discuss any additional business as there may or may not be.
Sounds good. Welcome back, Chris.
Chris, you're muted. You're muted.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. Approval of minutes from last meeting. Anybody a chance to review those and I'd like to make a motion?
I approve the minutes from last meeting.
I second.
In favor? Your hands. Thank you. Motion carries. Okay, and so Aaron, I hear you're going to fill in for Steve Jensen.
If you would like me to, what I did is I emailed his report to all of you. Would you like me to hit the high points, or is that just to be included in the record and call it good?
I read it.
I read it. Also.
Lots going on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so if everyone's read it, I don't think there's any reason for me to, waste people's time. I'll make sure that that is printed out and included in the packet of the minutes. Do you want to do me next or Peter next?
Yeah, no, I'd you go ahead while you've got the floor.
Okay, great. So really, I only have two main items. One is actually pretty cool because not a lot of things happen 35 years in a row. But thanks to Peter, thanks to Chris, we got our application together for Tree City USA. And this is either our 34th or 35th consecutive year of Ashland being a Tree City USA. And I think that's a pretty cool thing. So Chris, we're going to be presenting to the council in the middle of next month, March 16th. That's the other item I wanted to hit on. And obviously the rest of you commissioners, if you wanted to attend, and when we would do these things in person, it would be quite common to have a bunch of commissioners sitting in the audience and the chair would go up front. It might be a little weirder to try to pull that off via Zoom, but I wanted to make sure that you were all aware that the annual update to council will happen on March 16th. It's kind of unfortunate that it's not the following meeting because the first week of April is the week that we celebrate Arbor Day in Oregon. We haven't talked at all about Arbor Day yet. The one pin that I have put into it is we did put out the Tree of the Year nominations and a handful have dribbled in. I think I've maybe gotten 5 or 6 nominations. So not a banner year, in comparison last year, we had a couple of dozen and then we had to whittle it down to finalists. So, I promoted that a lot last year by having, handouts at the front counter. And when people would come in, I would, tell them about it. And it's obviously gotten some visibility on Facebook and on the city's webpage, but it's not going to be, we don't have a great list of candidates for Tree of the Year this year. We've always said that we would have voting for Tree of the Year be around Arbor Day. It doesn't seem like we're probably going to have any Arbor Day event per se. So I guess I would like to hear from the commission about, should I just work with GIS to get that put together and in terms of voting and just get that put online? Or do you guys want to vet the thin number of candidates that we have to select finalists? Last year, I think we had like 20 nominees and we got it down to like 5 or 7 or something. With as few as we have now, I could simply just say, here's the nominees and give it to GIS and say, put the poll in the field. To give you an idea of how many people have typically taken the time to vote on it, I think last year, when you added up all of the votes for all of the trees, it was only like 100 and something. So this is not something that gets a great deal of traffic. It's fun. It's whimsical. It's the thing we do. So I would like to hear some feedback about how you want to handle vetting the nominees and when I should make that poll go live. And then finally, one last thing. Sorry, I said I only had 2 things and I had to go on with 3. You guys will recall We discussed the multi-year street tree management project for Clay Creek Gardens at our last meeting. I'm working on completing the letter approving that. And today I got a request from Amy Richards that there's a specific species. And sorry, I cannot do these species names very well. Q-U-E-R-C-U-S, Quercus Schumardi, S-H-U-M-A-R-D-I-I. Apparently it's a type of red oak. And we have red oak in our street tree guide, but they wanted some input if that particular, is it called a cultivar, is acceptable. And so that was the last item I wanted to bring to you guys for input.
Sorry, I just have to hold my dog in. She's barking. I'll be right back.
That dog.
Yeah, it's just what's called a Schumardoga. I think that'd be a fine street tree. You guys agree?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm not familiar with that. Is that it's a type of red oak?
Basically, I think it's in the red oak family. Similar structure, great fall color. It seemed to be pretty tough as well.
How do you pronounce it?
Quercus Schumardii, I believe. Schumard oak.
Yeah, if anyone wants to see one of those as a street tree, we planted one about a year ago in front of what used to be Cripple Creek Music on Main Street.
Yep, I know exactly where that is.
Doing pretty well, and it looks good, I think. It makes a nice street tree, vertical, and so I would recommend it.
Okay, good, cool. Good. I appreciate hearing that.
I haven't had a chance to nominate my tree yet, so, and I have another friend who's an arborist who's planning to nominate a tree also, so you're going to get at least a couple more candidates.
Okay, great.
I didn't realize, actually, that we were able to do it yet. I didn't see something promoting that yet, so I'll dig around on the website. Can you give me a quick idea of where I would go to nominate that?
Yeah, so it was posted in the news section, and of course the news section is visible on the very front page, but there's only enough space for a couple of items, and so as new news items happen, you have to click on news to drill down to see the ones that have gotten buried. I believe it was also put out on the city's Facebook page and Twitter as well, and I will see if I can maybe get the news article brought back up to the top to give it additional visibility.
Okay. And I'll see if I can promote it a little bit too. Unfortunately, I'm off all social media now, so it's a little bit harder to promote stuff like that.
You're better off for it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Much better. I actually have time in my life again. One of the things I wanted to ask about in regards to Arbor Day, it rang a little bell for me. A few meetings ago, we talked about possibly doing a tree survey and mapping all the trees in the city. And I just wanted to touch base real quick on that and see what happened with that. What's the story with that?
So Chris emailed me some information about it. And when I received it, I was in that particular week buried. I took a quick glance at it and realized it was going to require a bit of staff time to put together, and Chris and I haven't really made the time to revisit that.
Okay.
My impression from the brief review that I gave it is that it was going to require, Chris, please tell me if I'm wrong. I got the impression that was going to require a fair bit of staff time to put together, at least a bit more than I have available at this moment. Is that correct, or is that something where the commissioner can do more of the heavy lifting and I can just bring it across the finish line?
Yeah, no, I think that would have been my ideal, that one of us or all of us being the volunteer, the tree committee, take on the brunt of all of it. Ultimately, if one of us drops the ball, it'll be on your shoulders completely.
Yeah, right.
I would love, and then honestly, given our track record for following through on things, I still think it's a great idea. So it's basically ODF has this grant to fund the technology to plot all of our, whatever urban trees we want, but the thought was to focus on street trees. So my initial thought, it would be a great way to get community involved, have us involved out looking at trees and then taking notes on things and basically categorizing things. So we can pursue it. I think, Aaron is, a wash in work. We all have full lives. And certainly probably not the budget on Aaron's end either to do much. So it would be, if we're to go through with it, ultimately the city has to sign off and they have to commit to having a point person on it. Otherwise they won't give us the grant.
Do you have an idea of what the obligation of staff time would be to get it up and running, and then what the ongoing commitment is?
I don't exactly
know. Okay.
And that's something I'm familiar with Katie Lupa, ODF. But we could definitely flesh that out. I originally got the email. It was the day of the fire, and I kind of,
Was it that long ago?
It really was, yeah. No, it was fire, at least fire week. I remember being on my to-do list, and my to-do list changed that week. But
right.
So, and it's available for a number of years. But anyway, it would be a neat thing, and I think worth a powwow about just to.
And correct me if I'm wrong, it's basically a software platform that then people would use like on their individual via an app. Is that how it works, or is there a hardware commitment as well?
I think it's just, via an app, and I don't know. Mostly it's a way to measure and manage canopy cover in the city, and to, it'd be a good tool for like Peter, if he's planting trees, and make sure you have a certain mix of a variety, and they're being, the mix of if Emerald Ash Borer or something goes through, we make sure we don't have 80% ash trees in the town or whatever it is. But anyway, it's a great management tool, and we don't really have those numbers, as far as I know, Peter. Nobody's ever done any kind of survey for the any of the city's trees. So if you guys are interested, I'm totally on board with digging a little deeper, answering some of these questions, and bringing it to the group, and Aaron and I keep talking about it, and I'm getting busy, so just take a.
I'm totally interested in it, and I had a couple questions. It's a management tool. One of my questions is, who would the manager be ultimately? And the other question is, more a suggestion is, I remember when we were doing those little things on the drains where we put the plaque saying drains to streams. There was a great volunteer network where we'd just choose a neighborhood and we'd go around and we'd make sure that it got all done. And also the volunteer network for the Ashland Food Project, they have most of the neighborhoods covered. So there's a few different volunteer networks that we may even be able to tap in to help lighten the load. But my question would be, ultimately, once the data's in there, if it's not being updated regularly, does it lose its value? And who's using it as a management tool to make what kind of decisions?
Mm-hmm. Well, those are great questions. Yet to be determined. And I just have my ideals. And if somebody like Peter would be the manager, at its simplest, it could say, okay, we do all this inventory and say we've got 20% canopy cover in Ashland, and we set a goal of more than that, that would be a positive thing to be able to manage. And I guess that's what I mean by managing it. But
that would be nice to have that information.
Mm-hmm. It's regularly used by bigger cities with active urban forestry programs. So I'm happy to commit to learning more about that, touching base with Katie, and chat more.
And I'm more than happy to, be the city's anchor, and we need to answer some of these questions. And so more conversation needs to happen before we can commit to it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, to inventory, even all the street trees, that's just massive.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaking. And then when it comes to accuracy, if someone said, hey, could you inventory this street, I'd be like, well, okay, and walk 10 feet and you say, okay, here's a tree, it's this big around, and as far as updating, of course, after 10 years it's like, well, 10% of the trees aren't there anymore, or 20% of them are twice the size, or whatever it is, as far as updating. But If it's through ODF, are they, I mean, there's got to be programs out there, you know, like the Mike set up for the SOU of like, you know, essentially inventorying and mapping the trees. But yeah, are they using like LIDAR or something just to quickly scan the whole like watershed?
I don't know. I think it would be, like you mentioned with Mike, having information on each individual tree, you know, species, health, roughly the size of it. And then maybe since every street tree is supposed to go through the process, so when one gets removed, there would be a way to tie into the permit process and maybe a way to help follow up, see if it was replanted.
And, you know, it's one of those things where what might be quite reasonable is let's do the downtown area first, right? Because you're right. The whole city is a lofty, lofty goal. But being able to say, okay, the downtown district as defined by these boundaries, that's something that's a little more digestible. And especially when you get into some of these properties where there's no where either the sidewalk is curb tight and you aren't sure where the property line is, it can be hard to distinguish, is that a street tree that's in the right of way or is that actually on private property? And it's even more tricky in places where there's no curb at all. So those are potential challenges. But, you know, if we were to start out by saying, let's focus on the downtown core and, you know, maybe from there, okay, the railroad district. I mean, we have, you know, certain bifurcated districts that we could do it chunk by chunk.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the downtown core and down to, you know, B Street and a lot of those older neighborhoods, that'd be pretty neat to catalog all those.
It would be.
Pretty spectacular trees.
Is it just street trees that get cataloged or?
Yeah, I think you could do whatever you want. I mean, you could go in all the city parks, but that seemed a bit overwhelming as well. So to kind of break it down to the street trees. Okay, well, I'll look more into that.
Great.
I'm going to circle back around to it. And big thanks to Aaron. He spearheaded the Tree City USA designation. So thank you.
Yeah, well done.
Big deal. Good stuff. Okay. Anything else from Aaron?
No, that's all that I have.
What you been up to, Peter?
Well, first, I real quick wanted to congratulate Aaron. I noticed in the employee newsletter, he's been on the job for 2 years now, and it's got to be a tough job. Before Aaron, as many of you know, we had a few people, and none lasted a year, it seemed like. So, good job. Yeah. It's nice to have someone in it for the long haul, and you're doing a great job.
So, thank you, guys. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely. As far as the parks, this week we've spent the bulk of this week grinding stumps in anticipation of planting replacement trees in the near future. Some of these trees are ones that you've seen in the commission. That tree in the front of Lithia, the maple tree that was dying, we finally cut that down and took the stump out, and we're going to be putting another maple there and a couple of Triangle Park, and then many within the parks too, that are not street trees. So that's going to keep us busy here for a while, I think. We've had some deferred replacements, you know, trees that have been cut down and not replaced right away. So that we're excited about that.
You guys been able to keep all of your staff? I just reading Councilman Jensen's report about your budgets being pretty tight.
Yeah, for right now, as you know, about a year ago, not quite a year ago, we lost several people. I think it was six total. Mm-hmm. And since then, I think we've held on to everybody. There've been some furlough days to save money, so that's a good way for everybody to, you know, take a little bit of a cut without having to cut more people. So
yeah,
it's been a little tight with all of the you know, the reduced food and beverage tax, and all of our programs are down to a recreation nature center and things like that, which bring in a little bit of money. So it's, in a kind of a tight time. But we all hope things will be looking up before too long. It's still hard to say.
Yeah.
And Chris, thanks for that book. Really been enjoying that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Everybody get theirs?
Yes, thank you.
It's a good read.
I really enjoyed that one. Just as a
all the history. It's gives you a real appreciation of.
It does, and for me, I think one of the main messages I walked away with is nothing much happens with urban trees without a committed group of volunteers, right?
Yep,
that's what made why we have city trees, and
yeah.
I just found it inspiring. You know, going back a long ways, so. Yeah.
Really interesting.
Good. You're most welcome. And I beat the $20 limit. So you guys, you city guys, won't get in trouble. So.
I thought about that. I was like, this is probably under the limit.
Peter, I noticed that the witch hazel is happily flowering away. So well done. I couldn't be happier to see that gorgeous tree relocated, and I can't imagine how you did it, but well done to the crew who got that tree moved. She looks pretty healthy, fingers crossed.
Yeah, Spencer did most of the work, air spading and such. He spent days doing that.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we're not totally out of the woods yet. Sometimes it takes a while for a tree to show the stress of replanting, but we're hoping that one, most of the roots were left intact. So,
right.
Where was this in the park?
Yeah, right. It was in the Japanese garden area up near Granite Street, and that had, there are other plans for that site with a new garden. So we moved it almost straight down. It's right along Windburn Way. You can see it now.
Mm.
It's inside the chain link fence that's there, right at the bottom of the stairs that come down from the Japanese garden.
Very cool. And days on an air spade. Nice job, Spencer.
Yeah,
that's a dirty job.
That was a lot of work, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kat, have you been, I heard you were going to prune mistletoe at Hald Strawberry Park. I haven't been up there.
I haven't been up there yet. I've been still, there's still so many along Fork that I've just been kind of picking away at. The weather's been so crappy, I haven't been too inspired to get out there. I'm actually gonna, I've done most of the ones along Fork that I can reach. But I was going to drop down into the area below Fork there. There's a lot of smaller oaks there that have a lot of lower mistletoe that I think could really benefit. So that's my next on my list. Then I was going to go up to Hold Strawberry because those trees are a lot bigger and I think a little sturdier, but the little ones below Fork could probably use it next.
Well, thank you for that. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, that's cool.
Wrangled in another arborist actually to work on it, and he's been eyeing the big oaks down on the Oak Flats between Mountain Avenue and Oak Street.
Oh, yeah, the new River Walk.
New
River Walk is there's some beautiful big oaks down there, but unfortunately, it would require climbing up in the tree, and I keep telling him he's not allowed to. I'm up in the trees, that the volunteer coordinator probably doesn't want us up climbing up in the trees. Is that correct?
Well, you might have to get some special insurance on him for that. I'm not sure. We've never had anyone do that as a volunteer before, but it would be neat if he is
I don't think he's certified, but he's done mistletoe removal for many, many years on his own property and worked on other people's properties. He knows what he's doing. I just didn't want the city to get in any liability difficulties. So,
it might be worth asking about. I'm just not sure. You wouldn't want to do it without checking, but it's possible. I really don't know.
I think your volunteer waiver would cover that. I've wondered about this one too. Just being able to rec climb in the park. I wonder how you did it for like the tree climbing competition.
I was just thinking the same question.
That's right. Yeah,
you bet they had big insurance for that.
I suppose ISA, maybe.
Probably so.
Covering that.
I'll touch base with Suleiman again and see.
Yeah.
It could also just come down to whether you have permission too. I mean, you know, most of the people in the city are probably going to be like, hey, you're not supposed to climb trees in Lithia Park. But it's like, well, the Ash and Arborist said I could, you know, maybe they'd be like, oh, okay, then carry on.
Yeah.
Every single person gives me the eyeball when I'm out there with my pole saw. What are you doing? Stand back. They're very Ashlanders are very protective of their trees. It's sweet.
It's amazing how often I've been chewed out for, especially for cutting a tree down in a park. Boy, that's not not fun a lot of the time.
Yeah, I bet.
You need like a neon vest and a hard hat and then a construction cone and then everyone thinks you're fine. You know,
some cones out.
A cone, then you're like official.
Yeah.
Okay.
So kind of touching back into Arbor Day, Peter, after I saw you at the airport the other day, I went to the golf course to check out the previous, was it 2 years ago, the Arbor Day, we planted all the trees out there.
And right, yeah.
I didn't see every tree, you know, because we planted a lot, but the ones I did see were doing great. There was one that I think we planted that there was like squirrels digging underneath it. It was some kind of spruce and it was definitely drying it out. But I was thinking, you know, I don't know if we want to tie it into Arbor Day this year, but the posts and the straps are still on a lot of those trees. And I was thinking getting those out of there would be better for the trees.
Yeah. I was thinking after this winter, which is coming up real soon, you know, the 2 years. Yeah. They should be. Able to stand up on their own.
Oh, wow. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast it goes.
And then back to the tree of the year, you know, I was thinking, you know, I think typically when there's not a whole lot of entries, we don't feel it's even, you know, our place to really thin out the nominations. At least that's what I kind of remember.
Yeah.
Unless there's one that's just like kind of makes the whole thing look like a joke.
Well, maybe what I'll do is I'll try to put together for your packet for next month's meeting the nominees that I have, and we'll have that be a discussion item at the next meeting. And if there's any one that the one that Eric nominated was actually one of the ones we rejected outright last year, but he seems to think it has, quote, good form. So we'll see what y'all think.
Thanks.
We do also have, I sent the revised wildlife interaction.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. I'm sorry. Did I email that out to everyone?
Yeah.
I did. Okay, good. Do you want to take a few minutes and discuss that, Kat?
Well, I just didn't know if there's any further feedback or editing suggestions that anyone had, or does that look like something that we could possibly attach at this point?
And I forget, we're looking at attaching it to removal permits, or how we're going to spread that word.
Yeah, I guess what we would do is we would attach that. I mean, obviously, if you guys have a motion and vote for it, I still need to obviously the staff advisor to approve of it, but provided that he does, and obviously if the commission endorses it, that carries a certain amount of weight. The way I envision it is that when the findings get mailed to the applicant, that would be attached to the notice of decision. So there's a one pager saying notice of decision. There's the findings, which are normally 2 to 3 pages. And then this would be attached to that. And it would only go to the applicant and their tree professional if they had one.
I thought it looked great.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah, I'm mostly on board with it. I think my only hesitation is the survey the day before. And that's mostly as a business owner that does a lot of this and just, yeah.
Yeah, I put the wording about the day before. Mm-hmm. I just said before work begins. Oh. I mean, before the day of work. So not necessarily the day right before, but I mean, when an arborist goes in and assesses a tree, that's also an opportunity to be doing that survey. So I took out the day before and just said before the day work commences.
That works. Yeah. That should be happening a couple of times when, you know, arborist first looks at it. And then when the crew is there as well. So yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for clarifying. I just saw one more thing to schedule.
Yeah.
If you guys want me to advance that to the staff advisor, I would encourage there to be a motion and a vote on it so I can formally say the tree commission approved. Da, da, da.
It can always be easily edited in the future if we catch a major error or two, right?
That's correct.
So yeah, just to get it out there right now is great. So I make a motion to support the addition of it.
I second. All those in favor?
All right.
Cool. Thanks for following through with that, Kat. Yeah.
Kat, can I ask you a favor, pretty please? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you email that to me again so it's on the top of my inbox? Okay, terrific.
Yep. Okay, I got to scoot out of here. I have another Zoom I'm going right to. So thanks for expediting tonight. That was really cool for me.
Thank you, Kat.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Circle back around again to Tree of the Year nominations, Aaron. So I didn't hear. So you said you might top post the news article, but how would people, they get in touch with you directly? Is there a link on the city website to actually nominate?
So like I said, there's a link in that news item somewhere.
That's in the news item. Okay.
Yeah. But if you're trying to get it out there, just give someone my email address. I've been receiving them just in my regular inbox.
Okay.
And I've been getting a lot that are simply an email that says, "Hi, my name is John. I want to nominate this tree," and there's no form even. And that's been working out quite fine.
That's not more work. Okay.
Cool. I mean, I'm going to have to ultimately go out and take photos of some of them. But again, it's a very small handful of trees that have been nominated so far.
Okay.
Although I got to admit, as I keep driving around, I keep on finding trees that I'm like, that one deserves to be nominated.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some nice ones out there.
Can we do that? I mean, we can nominate. It sounds like Eric did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no reason. There's absolutely no reason that you guys can't nominate trees. In fact, you guys have a better idea of where some of the gems are that, you know, most people probably don't.
Do you have to have permission from the landowner? The property owner?
I don't think so. Yeah, no, we've never held that there needs to be permission of the property owner, because plenty of people have nominated other people's trees. So yeah, absolutely.
So it's interesting. The one, you know, I'll sometimes do that with a client. So that's a great tree. You should nominate it. Oh, we don't want the attention. We don't want people coming by. Mm. So they don't.
But there's a tree over on Croson Road, and it stands out to me because they submitted it for a nomination last year. And I remember them pointing out that there's no trees of the year south of whatever the line was. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful silver maple that's got to stand, I don't know how tall. So that's another one that we've gotten again.
Great. Okay. Anything else?
I know Aaron sent out that something, other issue about the airport. I think you had referred to that, Chris, the topping.
Thank you for the reminder, Peter. Yeah. So as it happened, I went to the office the other day and ran into Chance, who is one of the staff liaisons to the airport commission. And they just had their meeting. I guess it was Wednesday of this week. And he said, oh, hey, thanks for being so willing to have the tree commission weigh in on that. We just had our meeting. And basically, they were convinced, sans input from y'all, that they were going to go ahead and continue with topping activities. Basically, what it was there was some contingent of the airport commission that was interested in basically removing all these problematic cottonwoods so they don't need to top them, you know, year after year, because there's height limitations that the FAA sets. And due to the nature of the airport approach, the trees in question actually weren't within our jurisdiction. So they were going to need to get permission from the county for that. It would have been outside of the scope of our review. But what they were looking for was your input. As it happens, that is now moot because they've made the decision to not move forward with the idea of removing them, because it really would have decimated that entire section of riparian corridor. And they were convinced that the right move was to leave the trees and to just continue topping them. So thank you, Peter, for reminding me to bring that up.
Good.
Sure. Chris, has your business ever done that job?
I looked at it one year and it just looked like such an awful job. Sea of blackberries. And I know, did you do it with Randy?
I've been involved with it a couple of times over the years. Yeah, it's an ugly job, but I think cutting them all down and replacing them would be that much worse. Yeah.
Oh, the blackberries would just take over. I know they're not great to look at or top, but man, better than stripping that whole creek. Yeah.
Yep. And it's multiple private properties with different access points. It's logistically, it's complicated too.
Yeah.
With a creek running right in the middle. So.
That did not look like fun to me. Yeah. I'm glad the trees are there.
I did find out that, there are grants out there for stream restoration type projects.
Yeah.
And one of them is there's some for fish habitat, and then there's some for, and I found out all the fish habitat projects on Neal Creek they're not interested in, the funding levels aren't trying to focus on fish anymore there. But a canopy coverage is something that they do look at, but that requires essentially planting big trees. Mm-hmm. And the minimum for the big tree height is 40 feet. And looking at so 40 feet or bigger is the ultimate goal for a mature tree in that kind of grant. And then, but looking at the approach map where it says, 50 feet, 45 feet, 40, the max height that the trees can be, half of that, it's got to be below 40 feet anyway. So I don't think they would have any grant ability to. So yeah, I agree. Topping them is a great idea, but it's interesting because looking at that approach swath, right to Hassel or Hansel welding, it's supposed to be like 20 feet tall or something. And it's like the power poles are taller than that. So it's kind of interesting. they probably don't top them as far as the specs call for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a necessary evil there, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder, because they've caught was would have had to have been there like way back in the beginning of the airport.
I think there's some alder in there too, yeah.
Yeah, alder, some ash.
Maybe some maples even, maybe.
But maybe I just wonder, some big leaf, yeah.
When they made the airport, were they just like, yeah, we'll just cut them down, or... planes were slower then, so they didn't need.
Yeah, I wonder.
Okay. Anything else, guys? Am I hanging in there?
Good to see everyone.
Vaccine.
Yeah, what's good that? To see y'all.
Yep.
Saw Asa out at the airport. That was yesterday. I was saying, anyway, it's nice to see somebody in person. I see Chris once in a while too.
Yeah, totally.
I don't see Eric, just his trucks. It's Eric Simpson landscaping trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all over like yours.
Keeping busy.
Over where?
Well, it's just you. I see your trucks all over.
Yeah, we just have a couple. Ashland's a small town. We just go to Ashland every day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I see you. Yeah, he's all over, it seems like.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. Cause
seem to be growing.
Yes, yeah. We're going broke.
Yeah. All right. Well, if that's all, we'll adjourn the meeting, 7:08.
All right. Sounds good. Good to see everyone.
Thanks, guys.
See you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Yeah.